Well, let's get into it this morning. If you have your Bibles, turn to the book of Isaiah. If you know where Psalms, Proverbs is, kind of in the middle of your Bible, Isaiah is directly after Psalms, and we're going to read a portion of Scripture that is read every year, and it's a well-worn, good reminder of the truth of who Jesus is, especially for those of us who call ourselves followers of Jesus, because sometimes to be a follower of Jesus can feel subjective. Basically, we can base it on our own preferences, or we can base it on what the world tells us what a Christian should look like. But what we do as followers of Jesus is we go back to Scripture and we look at the truth of who Jesus is, which gives us a clear picture of who we're supposed to be and how we're supposed to live our lives. So turn to Isaiah chapter 9, and we're going to read verses 6 through 7 at the beginning here. And this is what the word of the Lord says, and I'm going to be reading from the NIV this morning. Usually we're the ESV, but today Mike twisted my arm, and so we're going to be reading from the NIV, and that is this. Isaiah 9, 6 through 7. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor. Everyone say Wonderful Counselor. That was kind of a C minus, guys. All right. One more time. Wonderful Counselor. That was a B plus. All right. Good job. Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Verse 7. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establish and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Let's pray this morning. Jesus, we thank you for Isaiah chapter 9. We thank you that as we read these names about who you are, we thank you that this isn't hopeful thinking. This isn't wishful thinking. We thank you that this is true of who you are, that you are the Wonderful Counselor, that you are the Mighty God, that you are the Everlasting Father and Prince of Peace. And that truth of who you are, Jesus, bears on us this morning. It speaks louder than our circumstances. It speaks louder than our own failures. It speaks louder than our accomplishments. Jesus, we thank you that you are who you are. And I pray that today, Jesus, by the power of your Holy Spirit, that you would come and imprint on us where there's any truth of who you are forgotten in our hearts and in our minds and our actions and our followership of you. Will you come, Holy Spirit, and remind us, rekindle in us today the truth, Jesus, of you being a Wonderful Counselor. And we pray this in Jesus' name. And everyone says, amen. Now, here's the thing. Today, I don't know if you've noticed it, but I've found that the culture has shifted from a kind of machismo culture, a John Wayne culture. If you don't know who John Wayne is, shame on you. But whenever somebody says a John Wayne culture, this is that kind of culture that cowboys don't cry, right? And suck it up, buttercup kind of a thing. If you've ever seen True Grit, and there's a great remake with Jeff Bridges, you'll see what I'm talking about when we say a John Wayne culture is like, man, just be tough, right? And we've seen our culture shift from cowboys don't cry, real men don't cry, will women stand strong kind of a thing, into now every day, everybody seems to have a therapist, right? You ever talk with somebody and they're like, oh, I was talking with my therapist. In my day, we called it counseling. I don't know if it's the same thing, but it kind of feels the similar thing of like, hey, life is tough, life is hard, the world is in a big hot mess, and it's affecting my life, and I need to talk to somebody about this, right? And if we think this is something new in this day and age, I think it's, you know, become heightened. But if we think this is something new that we're feeling distressed, If you read the news, and you've heard me say it before, we said it a lot during when we were going through the book of Daniel. it's like the culture wants to say, everything that's evil, let's call it good right now, right? Everything that is like what the Bible says is good, let's call it bad. And we're feeling this turmoil, we're feeling distress about a world that celebrates destruction and sin and poo-poos, so to speak, the things that are good. And so we need a counselor. We need a wonderful counselor. And this is how it's not any different from today than it was in Isaiah's time. If you were to go back and look through, if you were to start in Isaiah chapter 1, you're going to see similar things that you and I are facing right now today in this day and age. And if for those of you who might say, man, the Bible is old, it's this ancient kind of, you know, book that's totally irrelevant to my life. Well, are you reading the Bible? Because, I mean, let's look at some of these things. First of all, look how Isaiah describes this distress and darkness. In Isaiah chapter 8, if we go back a little bit, verses 21 through 22, he says this, distressed and hungry, they will roam through the land. When they are famished, they will become enraged. And you ever get so mad when you're hungry that you're just, or hungry, you're just so mad? Hangry. Looks like they're hangry here. When they are famished, they will become enraged, and looking upward, will curse the king and their God. Verse 22. Then they will look toward the earth and see only distress and darkness and fearful gloom, and they will be thrust into utter darkness. Lots of utter darkness. I'm feeling it, the darkness of the world. And so here's some examples that if we go way back into Isaiah, it talks about some things that I think you and I face today. It talks about really bad leadership. And we're experiencing some really poor leadership, whether you're on the right or you're on the left or you're somewhere in between. It's a hot mess. And it's like clear that man is not the answer to our problems, right? It's bad leadership. But this is how Isaiah describes it. Isaiah chapter 3, verse 6, he says, a man will seize one of his brothers in his father's house and say, you have a cloak? You be our leader. Take charge of this heap of ruins. Feels like a heap of ruins right now, doesn't it? But the leadership, the situation was so bad that to be counted as someone who was worthy of leading is that you had a jacket. That's how bad this was. It was like, hey, you have a jacket. Maybe everybody will follow you. Isaiah talks about the darkness of materialism. Isn't that rampant in our culture today? This is how he describes it. Chapter 2, verses 7 through 8. Their land is full of silver and gold. There is no end to their treasures. Their land is full of horses. There is no end to their chariots. Their land is full of idols. They bow down to the work of their hands, to what their fingers have made. That pretty well describes kind of our culture today, doesn't it? I don't know if we have a plethora of horses. Maybe in Chino, you know, that's kind of a thing. But it feels like, man, people have stuff. You ever look in your garage? What does your garage look like right now? Exactly. Who has more than one refrigerator? Okay, all right. Not only was there materialism, poor leadership, but we see, man, just kind of debauchery kind of living. Isaiah 5 says this in verse 11 through 12. Woe to those who rise early in the morning to run after their drinks, who stay up late at night till they are inflamed with wine. You don't know what he's talking about? People who would get drunk and just party. Verse 12, they have harps and lyres in their banquets, at their banquets, pipes and timbers and wine, but they have no regard for the deeds of the Lord, no respect for the work of his hands. And then if you think narcissism is lost on Isaiah, it's not. Isaiah chapter 3, verse 16, the Lord says, the women of Zion are haughty, that means full of self, walking along with outstretched necks, flirting with their eyes, strutting along with swaying hips, with ornaments jingling on their ankles. Sounds like the Montclair Mall, doesn't it? Marianne said, what? Are you feeling a little insecure? Huh? All right. I mean, it only takes a second on Instagram, and if you follow the Kardashians, I mean, it feels like that's exactly what's going on here. All about self. and making yourself look better, flirty eyes, etc., etc. And we live in a culture today that it feels like distress. And so it is right for us to say we need a counselor. If you this morning are saying to yourself, man, I don't need anybody. I am Simon and Garfunkel. I am a rock. I am an island. I don't need anything. Then you have missed the point. See, it's not just the weak people who need to say, Lord, I need help. It's not just people who walk around with a crutch, so to speak, emotionally or spiritually or morally, that say, I need some help in this life. Will no one come and give me wise counsel? No, that is for all of us. Because since sin entered the world, there is a need for us to be pointed back to the truth of who God is and what righteous living is. Amen? You know, our friend Christine Nethers from Southlands Brea is here this morning. Where's the mic? It's right here. Christine felt that she had a word for us this morning. Christine, will you come up and just share kind of along those lines of what you were feeling for us this morning?
Yeah. Good morning. It's great to be here with you. And like many of you, I woke up to fog this morning. I love the fog. It's like snow in Southern California. But driving here, it took a few extra minutes. Because it was pretty disorientating. I had the privilege of coming to Southlands Chino even before it was called Southlands Chino. So I've been here several times. I don't need my GPS generally. But today I did, because the fog was so disorientating that I needed the GPS to tell me, okay, the exit's here, the stoplight's here, you're going to park here. And I needed that because the fog, I could only really see a couple of feet in front of me. And I just sensed the Lord speak to me in that we are in a time where it's foggy, it's disorientating, it's confusing. And even things we've done before, we actually need God, the counselor, to point us and to give us directions, even for familiar things. Yeah.
Thanks, Christine. Thank you so much. You know, I mean, I love that Christine's here this morning and sharing that word. And, you know, I love the fact that we're not just an isolated community here as well. Southlands is connected to a greater picture of what Southlands is, with Brea and Santa Ana. And just having Christine come and strengthen us this morning, thank you for that word. And I love how, you know, where's Carrie? Carrie was like, I feel like there's a braid here this morning about the Word of God. Even in that, it feels braided together what God is wanting to convey to us this morning. And that is this need that, it almost as if God puts a need on us, isn't it? Why would he do such a thing? I think it's to draw us close to him. It's to keep us near to him, because what our hearts tend to do is kind of veer off, and we look for stuff in the world, because it's where we live, isn't it? It's really easy for us to start putting our hope in the peripherals. It's easy for us to start thinking about what so-and-so has and how happy they are, and it seems like they're happy because they have X, Y, and Z. And then our heart starts to drift, our minds start to drift toward, well, if I maybe had this like they have that, then I would probably be happy. I would probably feel content. And God, in his love and his kindness, doesn't allow us to get away with that, does he? And I'm grateful for that. Let me take a sip here a moment. So, here's where we're going to differentiate ourselves as followers of Jesus and people who would just maybe not understand the truth of Jesus being the wonderful counselor. See, the world wants counseling too. And Isaiah, in his time, this is what they would do. In Isaiah chapter 8, verse 19, he's speaking as if this is what's going on. He says, when someone tells you to consult mediums and spiritists who whisper and mutter, should not a people inquire of their God? Why consult the dead on behalf of the living? See, there's this common culture that we are in distress, we are in need, so let's go to somebody who's maybe going to tell us something we want to hear, or who is spiritual, and on our behalf can find out what we need. And in a day and age where we feel distress, friends, our responsibility as followers of Jesus is not to go to the easy kind of Instagram culture of truth. Or look at memes for, I mean, memes represent our culture, don't we? We laugh at them. Or look at what someone might say on the TV or on the radio or whatever it is on Facebook and get our wisdom for living from those things. We are called as followers of Jesus to go straight to Jesus. Why don't we do it? I mean, I'm guilty of it. I sometimes look inwardly and ask myself, how can I fix this problem? How can I comfort my soul? How can I John Wayne it in this day and age? Or maybe I just need to run over here and run over here and all of these things. See how he says, they whisper and they mutter. They whisper and they mutter. Hey, you're going to find hope here. I want to tell you about something that's going to change your life. It's, and you're like, what? It's muttering. It's muttering. It's this temptation to draw you away from the truth of who Jesus is so that we ultimately put our hope in something else that we're not called to do. And it's easy to do that even as Christians. Well, here's what I love about Isaiah's Messiah is that he calls him the Wonderful Counselor. We need more than anything in this world a Wonderful Counselor, don't we? I need it. And if you don't realize you need it, then you really need it. So in the last few minutes here, what we're going to do is just unpackage the truth of this name. And my encouragement to you is to say, okay, Jesus, where I'm not seeing you rightly, okay, when the fog has, I kind of have grown up with a culture of you, and so I might generally know my way, but today the fog, so to speak, of my heart or this culture is starting to disorientate me. I'm starting to feel a little bit like I knew my way, but I'm not totally sure here. Where the fog of sin and our own failings and the culture and the distress of the day that we're living in is starting to bombard us, can you with me this morning say, Lord, I submit and I surrender to not the ways of the world, to not my own understanding, but realign my heart back to the truth that you are the Wonderful Counselor. All right, so let's open that this morning. Let's double click on that this morning. So number one, this is the obvious on the nose truth here, but we have to understand that he's a Wonderful Counselor. He's wonderful because he's wonderful. Oh, go figure. He's wonderful because he's wonderful. Now, I know that right now in this room, you know, we have the wreath set up. We did our best to kind of like spread Christmas cheer around this morning. Last week, we were throwing out candy, you know, and we were having fun and trying to like everything in the physical to try to like get our hearts and our minds into the season. And it's really subjective, isn't it? It's subjective. Some of us might be dreading this time of year. This might be the loneliest time of the year for you. Oh man, the holidays come around and everything's about family and everything's about, you know, warm little like, you know, fireplace scenes where we're eating fatty foods and like the children are warm and like everyone's singing Christmas carols like the Von Trapps and all that kind of stuff. And you don't have any kind of that in your life and you're feeling left out. And, or maybe, you know, this time of the year reminds you of, you know, a loved one that passed away. I don't know. I mean, all of the things that would say, hey, you're supposed to be joyful, sometimes blare us in the face and go, you don't have this. And so it's easy for us to kind of turn our hearts and go, man, this is a hard time to celebrate the truth of who Jesus is. C.S. Lewis had an example of, he would talk about how he would ride a bike. And he said, before we learn how to ride a bike, we're unenchanted. I don't know if that's really a word, but C.S. Lewis said it, so I'm going to stick with it. He says, we're unenchanted with bike riding. You know, a two-year-old doesn't care that much about people who ride a bike. As you grow a little bit older and you see and you desire, there becomes this enchantment with wanting to ride a bike. And as you learn, you start feeling afraid, right? You remember that feeling? If anybody remembers how to, when they first rode a bike, I remember it still. Me and my dad, and like, it felt like all the mail posts were like magnets. Like, just, there it is. And I just couldn't seem to like turn away from the mail post. But you remember that feeling of like, ooh, and then what happens when you start getting the feel? Oh, I can, if I lean a little bit, I turn, ooh, that really helps. And then you're like showing off, and you think you're so enchanted with riding a bike. And then after a while, what happens? Wears off, doesn't it? It's just kind of like, whatever, I can ride a bike. Yeah, I'm like, my son now, he likes to show off, and he rides it with no hands, my youngest son, and he can even turn without no hands, right? And kind of the coolness of riding a bike is worn off. See, most of us are in this state where riding a bike, so to speak, spiritually, about who Jesus is, seeing Jesus as the Messiah, as the wonderful counselor. We read Isaiah 9 every year. We kind of become disenchanted a little bit because we read it every year, we know about it, and it's just the time of year that we do it. But what we need, friends, is a re-enchantment. We need to come back to this truth that Jesus is not just some counselor. He's not just an earthly person who came to earth and his earthliness, his manness, was able to counsel us in a very natural way. See, here's the truth about the wonderful counselor. He's wonderful because he is God. I don't know how else to like tell you how amazing that is. Maybe if you had a time machine, you could go back to Socrates, right? And say, Socrates, lay some truth, some philosophical truth about the world on me. And we'd all go like, Socrates, if we could get him to translate from Greek to English, right? And we're hearing him and we're like, this is amazing. Socrates is right here with us this morning. Can you believe it? I mean, this church would be packed, wouldn't it? Probably, if Socrates in the flesh was here this morning, people would want to hear what Socrates is going to say. Why do we somehow think that the wonderful counselor that we have direct access to into our lives at any moment that we need it, especially in a season right now where we're feeling distressed, would be less wonderful than if Socrates himself were to appear to us and start giving us a lecture on the way the world works? Friends, if you, as a follower of Jesus, have lost the wonder of the wonderful counselor, can I ask you this morning to look and say, Holy Spirit, please speak to my heart. Holy Spirit, please remind me of how wonderful Jesus is. If Jesus is God and we have access to God through Christ, what a wonderful thing. More beautiful, more precious, more lovely than anything. I mean, you know this word wonder, when you see Moses, when he encounters the burning bush. I don't know if you've seen, what's that movie? The cartoon. The Prince of Egypt. That's one of my favorite movies. I just forgot the title. But there's a scene, right? And you see it in Scripture. Moses in the burning bush, and God tells him, Moses, take off your shoes, where you're standing is holy ground. And now I want you to go to Pharaoh, and here's what's going to happen. You're going to say to Pharaoh, what? Let my people go. Well, I stutter, all of these things. And God says, stand back and watch my wonder. See my power displayed. See my absolute control and sovereignty over nature itself. It will be so extravagant that all you'll have to do is put out your rod, boof, and the Nile will turn to blood. Frogs will jump out of the Nile. Gnats and flies and locusts and fire will fall from heaven. You will stand back and see my wonders. And this same wonders has been encapsulated into a person, into the wonderful counselor of Jesus, who you and I, if we call Jesus Lord and Savior, have direct access to and say, Lord, I'm distressed. The world's a hot mess. I need your counsel. And that is good news. Amen? Wonderful counselor. All right. Not only is he wonderful because he is wonderful, but he's wonderful because he is wise. All right. So, I love to hear what I love to hear. I do. I really like, sometimes on purpose, what I will do is I will ask certain people certain things because I know I'm going to get a certain answer. You ever do that? Right? If maybe you created something or maybe you have an idea, and so you want to hear a good thing and a confirmation about the thing that you did, and so you're going to go to somebody who you know will give you feedback that, look how amazing that was, right? And you're like, yes, well, thank you very much, right? Now, here's the beautiful thing about the wonderful counselor that we have in Jesus, is that Jesus doesn't just give us good advice. He doesn't just kind of say, well, you know, here's some options. You probably couldn't see the options. And the way I work is, I'm kind of a God who, like, starts something, and then I stand back and go, well, you can figure it out, you know, because that's how I am, that's how I work, but that's how most religions work, and so why wouldn't I work that way? So why don't you come to me, and I'll give you, like, A, B, and C, and you choose which one, everyone, and we'll see how it works out for you. That's not how the wonderful counselor works. The wonderful counselor is wonderful because he doesn't just give good advice, he gives wisdom. What is wisdom? Wisdom is, if you do this, this will be bad, so don't do this because it'll be bad. And it's, I only know this because I just happen to be the creator of the whole universe. And I know how things work. And I know how your mind works. And you think you got it all figured out, but you need to come to me because I can see the wood through the trees and you can't. See, what we want often is just a cathartic experience, right? I think, now I'm not trying to like dog on therapy today, but I think everyone has a therapist because we want to have a cathartic experience. Well, I need someone who can listen to me. I need someone who will, like, I can just pour my heart out. And while Jesus listens and we can pour our heart out to Jesus, he doesn't go, well, that's it for today. That was great. I think we made some progress. Why don't you come back next week? What he does is, when we sit with Jesus, we can cathartically say, Jesus, my life's a hot mess. And he goes, yes, I know, I understand. I've been there, I've experienced the same thing. Let me put my arms around you. Now let me give you some wisdom. And you might, like, this is where we step from the mystical side, the ethereal side of Christianity, into the practical side of Christianity. Well, you say, well, Kelly, Jesus is the wonderful counselor, and he gives wisdom, and I feel like I've been a Christian for a long time, but I don't feel very wise. I don't feel like I understand the wisdom of Jesus. How would I get Jesus' wisdom? What is he going to do? Talk to me? Oh, yes, he is! If you have your Bibles, this isn't part of my notes, but turn to John. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Come on, Luke. Keep going, Luke. Keep going, Luke. We're almost there, Luke. Okay. All right, there we are. John chapter 1. Now, what does it say? Well, this is what it says. John chapter 1, verse 1. Speaking of who? Jesus, in the beginning, was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. Stop right there. Full stop. Period. End. You mean to tell me Jesus is going to talk to me? Like float and levitate and like sitting crisscross applesauce and put my hands up and like do some weird noise and all of a sudden I'm going to hear an audible voice from heaven? You may hear an audible voice from God. I'm not saying God can't speak to you that way. But guess what? Guess how God speaks to you directly every day, every moment of your life, if you need it right now, right now. The Word of God. And if you're saying this morning, I've been a Christian for a long time, I'm very unwise, I would say, are you reading the words of God? Are you reading Scripture? See, the more we read Scripture, the more we have an encounter with the wonderful Counselor. These words are the words of God. And Jesus is the Word. The Word isn't Jesus, but Jesus is the Word. We're not saying, I'm carrying Jesus around, okay? That's not what we're trying to say. I put Jesus in my back pocket. I put Jesus in my backpack. And, you know, I thump people over the head with Jesus, right? No, we don't do that. That's not what we're saying. We're saying that this represents, because Jesus has the Word in Him, He is the very Word, and everything He speaks is the mind of God. And so for those of us this morning, you're saying, man, I get this wonderful Counselor thing, but how does God speak to me? He speaks to you through the Word. If you're feeling like a little distressed during this time, if the Christmas lights make you feel a little melancholic, if you're feeling a little like, man, sounds like my neighbors have a bunch of fun, I wish I had fun. If you're feeling a little reminiscent about loved ones that are lost and you wish that you could celebrate them, I wish I had my dad with me this year. I wish that he could, like, I wish I could have called my dad and said, Dad, guess what? After 4 years of our church, Dad, we are in the black financially. And my dad would have been like, he would have just said, of course, you know? That's how my dad would have been. He said, oh, that's so great, Kelly, you know? And I'm so happy for you. He would be so genuinely excited about that. I wish I could call him. And if I get all sad about that, what I can do is go, Jesus, I'm feeling sad right now. I'm missing my dad. And yes, and I know he's with you face to face, and he's not worried about any of this stuff. He's just like, ah, God, right? But I'm feeling it right now. Can you remind me of how you love me? Can you remind me of, like, how you gave everything for me? Can you remind me of my position in you? Can you remind me of the family you put in my life? Can you remind me of all the... We were watching White Christmas last night with Bing Crosby, Danny Kaye. Oh, man. If you have not watched that, go watch it. It's just wholesome, right? And there's a scene in there where... who's George Clooney's aunt? Rosemary Clooney. She's feeling all bummed out. And Bing Crosby says, you know what I do when I feel bummed out? I count my blessings. Counting my blessings, right? And that's what we do when we go to Scripture. It reminds us of the blessings that we have in our life. And it reminds us of the truth of who we are. It reminds us of what God's done for us. And it brings this big picture wisdom into our lives when our hearts start to drift into the mutterings and the whisperings of the spiritists of this age that would try to draw us away from counsel. Now, I've taken way too long on that point, but, all right, I'm not going to finish that point. Number three. Not only is he wonderful because he's wonderful and wise, but I love this one. The wonderful Counselor, Jesus, is wonderful because he intervenes. He intervenes. Now, we say during this time of year, Emmanuel. That's an old school word, Hebrew word that means God with us. And you're going to hear it. You're going to hear it on the radio, right? When you turn on Coast 103.5, you're going to hear it. Jared just heard at Disneyland of all places, they sang about Jesus. And they read from the Bible, woke Disney, okay? You're going to hear this truth about Emmanuel, but here's the thing. You have to know that the wonderful Counselor is not just in your mind a wonderful Counselor. The wonderful Counselor is personally to you as a person, as an individual, available to you and has intercede and intervened into your life. Now look at this. Isaiah, go back to chapter 9. And we're going to read verses 2 through 5, which we haven't read yet. And it speaks about this darkness, this distress. Now as we read this, I want you to try with your eyes to see how God has intervened. And this is what it says. The people walking in darkness have seen great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. Who did that? Not them. God did it. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest time. Look at all this food we got. Woohoo! As warriors rejoice when dividing the plunder. Verse 4. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them. Anybody feeling a burden? I do. The bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Verse 5. Every warrior's boot, every warrior's boot used in battle, and every garment rolled in blood will be what? Destined for burning. It'll be fuel for the fire. See, this is what is happening here. You find a nation that is distressed, that is living in darkness, that is feeling overwhelmed with their own sin and circumstances that have come against them. And they're saying, we are in darkness. We're in deep darkness. We need help. And then God comes, and what does he do? Boom! Sheds light into the darkness. See, it wasn't the people that were in and creating darkness that said, man, we have got ourselves in trouble. What do we need to do? We need to get out of this darkness. Can anyone just stand where you are and go, I'm going to create light? Nobody can. You cannot create light. Light is only created, we know this from Genesis, when God says, let there be light. And what happens? And there is light. And the beautiful thing is, see this wonderful counselor, the Messiah, he doesn't say, okay, they've got themselves in a pretty hot mess. They've done this. Let's see them try to get themselves out. God in his grace and his mercy and in his intervening comes when you and I, nation of Israel, cannot intervene for themselves. And he says, they're in darkness and I'm going to say, let there be light. And in a word, Jesus says, I'll go. But you're going to have to be born of a babe. You're not just going to come down like Thor. Okay, I'll do that. Well, you're also going to be an embryo. What? Yeah. Okay. It's going to be this whole thing, and people are going to be, what in the world? How's this happening? And they're going to marvel at it and, like, you know, argue about it for generations about how. But you're going to subject yourself to humanity's weaknesses. I'll go. Yeah, but when you're born, you're going to be born in like this poo-poo, manger. There's going to be smells, and they're not good smells. There's going to be like cows making noises, and sheeps and goats. Sheep's not a word. Sheep and goats. And you're going to be like in a little manger, and they're going to be wrapping you up, and it's going to be nasty. You know, it's not going to be like a king. I'll go. And by the way, in your going, you're going to face hardships as you grow older. You're not going to have anywhere to lay your head. People are going to hate you. They're going to try to kill you all the time. And you're going to be always misunderstood by everybody. Some people might get it, but that's only because we're going to let them get it, okay? And then even in that, they're still going to betray you. Well, I'll go. Yeah, but you don't understand. This betrayal is going to lead you to a point where you will end up giving your life for these very same people that are in darkness that you are coming to save. They won't even say thank you. They'll totally reject you to the point where they're going to nail you on a cross. I'll go. And see, the intervention of Jesus doesn't depend on our good moral behavior. The intervention of Jesus wasn't based on you and I impressing God so much that he was like, whoa, look how they've turned the tables. Look at this. They were in darkness, but they're really trying. What do you think, Holy Spirit? What do you think, Son? Okay, should we help them out? Okay, Son, they've done 80%. Now go down there and do the rest of the 20. They deserve it, no? See, what happens is God, the Trinity looks down and says, there's a hot mess. They're in darkness. They cannot help themselves. No one can help them except for us. There's 100% of the work that needs to be done. And even in their own trying, they're never going to measure up. And Jesus says, I'll go and I'll intervene in spite of them rejecting me, refusing me, and even being put to death on a cross. Isn't that wonderful news? Last one. Jesus is the wonderful counselor. He's wonderful because he's compassionate. So here's the thing about a counselor. If you've ever been to counseling or if you've ever been to therapy, you usually sit with somebody and they listen to you talk. And they are taught objectively, and this is any kind of healthcare professional, not to personally get entangled with you in a relationship, right? Because that would be inappropriate. And this happens sometimes because doctors and patients, they build this relationship and then there's this codependence, but it doesn't usually turn out very well. And so you're taught as a healthcare professional not to emotionally get engaged with your patient. Now this can sometimes, you ever had a doctor with really bad side manner, bedside manner? They just act, they might know everything. They might be able to tell you what you need to do. Jared, I know you're not like this at all right? So, but, you know, they might know all the things, but they kind of act like, man, you're a doofus, and will you just listen to my advice and get out of here and you'll be fine. And they just treat you like you're a piece of meat, like you're a job. Now, that's a bad healthcare professional. But there should be some kind of objectivity. There should be kind of a line that we don't cross with our healthcare professionals because we don't want our relationship with them to become inappropriate. See, here's the thing about Jesus. He's not like a healthcare professional who's been taught to, like, view you from afar. I don't want to touch that because I got other patients in. I don't want to get involved with that kind of, that's a hot mess, and I'm not ready to go down that road of all the personal interaction that's going to take place with me and you. I'm just going to stand a little bit away from you. I'm going to tell you what you need and then be like, go on your way. No, see, Jesus gets into our world. Jesus is compassionate. You read over and over in the Gospels, when somebody has leprosy, what does Jesus do? He puts his hands on him. Will you and I ever put your hand on somebody who's leprous? Heck no. That's going to get on us. And then we'll get infected. Jesus isn't afraid because he's compassionate. You see over and over, Jesus gets in a boat. He's about to get off the boat. What does he see before he gets off the boat? Oh my gosh, there are thousands of people sitting there waiting for me. He knows what's happening. And what does Jesus do? He doesn't go, you guys, just turn the rudder a little bit and let's like meander this way slowly. Pretend like we didn't see them. No, Jesus intently, directly goes toward the crowd, and the scriptures tell us that he had compassion on them. He feeds. Prays for the crowds. He loves the crowds. He touches the crowds. And if we're going to Jesus as he's some kind of professional in the sky, he's a godly counselor in the sense of he knows everything wise, but he doesn't care for me, you misunderstand our Messiah. You misunderstand Jesus. See, I don't know why Jesus would ever want me to want him because I'm a hot mess. But in his grace and his love for me, he somehow does. He somehow wants me to want him. He somehow delights in the fact that I go back to him all the time and ask for forgiveness or wisdom or power for something. He always wants me to want him. Jesus doesn't get tired of you. He doesn't go, oh my gosh, again? Again? I thought we dealt with this. Again? The same prayer? Ugh, okay. Come to me, all you who are heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. Come to me when you're hungry. Come to me when you're weary. Come to me when you're feeling distraught and distressed because of the heaviness of the world and the season, etc., your circumstances, come to me, and I will give you rest. I will, you ever think about if you messed up? Sometimes we walk into this church building and we feel a little bit like, man, I don't know how people could like accept me today. You know, if they would have seen what I did this week. I don't know how like I can sing these songs really with boldness. I probably should just sit here and listen because I know how wretched I am. I know the thoughts I have. I know the actions I've done. And God doesn't want to welcome me. Hebrews 4:15 through 16 says, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin." Then it says this in verse 16, "Because of this, let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in what? Our time of need." Amen. See, Jesus goes beyond the inappropriate. He goes beyond the uncomfortable like nature of healthcare professional to a patient. He just breaks all that junk down. He says, "Come, let me put my arms around you. Let me give you a big old bear hug. Let me celebrate with you. Let me put salve on your wounds. Let me cry with you. Let me speak what you need to hear. Let me speak truth to you. Let me speak love to you. Come, find me. I'm the wonderful counselor. Don't go look to all this junk. Don't look for that present under the tree that you think is going to give you 6 months of joy. Don't look for that one relationship, your bank account, whatever it is. Come to me. I'm the wonderful counselor because I'm the only one that fully satisfies." Amen. Let's stand this morning.